Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Hey man, today we'll be discussing the coaching carousel. Florida State's ride is almost over, but we'll let you know our thoughts on the coaches currently on staff and some of the coaches we intend to take over and fill certain positions. Sam, you ready?
Let's get it.
Let's get it. All right, so Sam, it looks like Florida State is getting pretty close to putting together their final two spots, but the majority of the roster is already, the majority of the coaching staff has already been filled out. What are your thoughts on the class so far, man?
Oh, I actually like the coaches on this staff, man. I like the diversity on this staff, to be honest with you, man. I think that's the biggest takeaway I got is the diversity on the staff, because you got the older guys, the guys in their 50s, like Thomason, the offensive line slash tackles coach. Of course, you got Odell. And then you got the mid-40 guys. You know, you got Dugans and the guy John Patchos. I like how it's a nice mixture of old, young guys from different parts of the country, Midwest guys, up north guys. You got a bunch of guys that recruited in the South in the SEC also, man. I think that's my biggest takeaway. It feels like we're going to get back to recruiting that I-10 corridor and really hitting it hard.
No, it's funny you say that. So, you know, I was looking at the staff, right? And I agree with you. I think one of the biggest things I can say about this staff is it is diverse. And I think that helped. And I guess the reason why we've made that point is because it's going to help in recruiting, right? I think we look at this previous staff, and it wasn't really a big vast majority of diverse coaches, right? You had a lot of coaches who kind of filled the same gap, who kind of filled the same, you know, who filled the same voids in a lot of ways, right? So now you look at this staff and you say, we got guys for just about everybody. Okay, you an academic guy. You're a kid who is really big on academics. Then I think you can look at your linebackers coach and say, well, this guy went to Vanderbilt, so you know is a guy who's big on academics. Then you look at the way at his coaching style, and you think, man, this guy would be perfect to recruit this kid. But then you may have an older kid or a kid with an older family or whatever who may say, all right, well, you're gonna be more in line for this coach. Or okay, you're a young guy from Miami, then we know we can put this coach on you. And I think it makes a big difference when it comes to recruiting, because it doesn't limit your recruiting pool. You know what I mean? I think when you got a guy like Dillingham, who's used to recruiting, the South, you got Odell, who's been in the South for a while. You also have Ron Dugans, who's been in the South. But then you bring in a guy, Mike Norvell, who's recruited. Yeah, he's recruited the South, but he doesn't have the South connection that other coaches have. You needed to have a group around you who could. And so I think that's a great job. He does a great job in bringing in those guys. But then we look at, you know, the line coach who or the new line coach that they brought in today, who I think they say has some ties to some JUCO. You know what I mean? Who has the ties to the JUCO ranks? Every single area of recruiting and of personality even fits, I think, is being addressed with this staff. And I think that's very smart from, you know, Norvell's perspective of doing that. So when we talk about, I'll let you go through the positions that we currently have now when we talk about
So let's talk about
the coaches so we can
let's talk about
people who don't know.
Yeah, let's talk about, okay, so we know Dillingham's going to be the offensive coordinator, okay? Mike Norvell pretty much coaches the quarterbacks, so that's That would be his baby, is the quarterback. So understand this. We hired Mike Norvell. Mike Norvell also calls plays. So we pretty much hired Jimbo again. All right. Just
a quarterback's coach and play caller. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, we hired Jimbo again. But the important hire, I think, on that side of
complex
football,
offense as well. When we talk about Jimbo as well. But yeah, go ahead.
I think the most important hire on the offensive side of the football, in my opinion, is the guy Thomason, Chris Thomason, the O-line coach. They named him deputy head coach. And I think for the most part, what he's going to do is make sure the offense is being coordinated properly, being ran properly, especially if Norvell's going to put a lot of his focus on special teams. So
he's kind of helping Dillingham. You think him and Dillingham are kind of tied at the hip, in other words.
Right, right. That's what I think. That's the marriage of that situation. Okay. And I think he's actually over Dillingham. That's my opinion.
Well, I mean, based on title, if we're looking at title-wise, he would be as the deputy head coach.
Right. And the thing with Thomason is he's a Midwest guy, coached at Arizona, TCU, and this is one of the most important things I've seen about him. He placed four senior offensive linemen in the 2017 draft. They all got drafted. Four offensive linemen. So, yeah, that's huge. Norvell met him at Central Arkansas, which is pretty cool. So he's been a running backs coach, a tight end coach, and an O-line coach. So that's why I say I feel like he's going to be the general overseer of the offense that reports back to Mike Norvell.
So if I'm looking at it, we're looking at almost a three-headed monster, in other words, right? So if you look at the Mike Norvell, deputy head coach, in Dillingham, between these three guys, you kind of you're not just taking it and you're not putting it on one guy, but you got three guys to kind of take the offense and make something out of it.
Right. But then when you look at the Alex Atkins hire at offensive line coach, he actually coordinated the offense, was an offensive coordinator and O-line coach at his previous stop, and is known for getting O-lines to play hard, play good together, fundamental, and increase the run production. He did it at Georgia Southern. He did it as a JUCO coach. That's basically, three offensive coordinators on one side of the football, Dillingham, Alex Atkins, and Norvell. So that's three guys that can put a game plan together. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what I wanted to talk about. I think we've gotten into the mindset over these last couple years, a few years, where, it's one guy. He's the offensive coordinator. He puts it together. But if you look at some of these other staffs, they don't have one head coach on it. They have guys with head coaching experience. There's multiple guys on their staffs with head coaching experience. And that's what that's what gives me a lot of hope when I talk about Florida State, right? So when I look at, like you said, Thompson, Atkins, Dillingham, Norvell, all have coordinated an offense and all have, some form of head coaching experience at some level. So now I'm looking at it and I'm saying, well, this ain't all on one guy. You know what I mean? I'm not just depending on Dillingham to give me Auburn's offense again. I'm not just, putting this on Jimbo Fisher to run my offense. I now got a lot of people who are looking at this problem. Because that's what it is. That's what it is, right? Defense is presenting you a problem, and you have to find a solution on based on the talents you have in order to be successful. So now, instead of one guy looking at this problem and trying to come up with the answers, I now got four guys who have all had the ability at different levels and in different aspects to coordinate a game plan to put together the best solution possible. And I think that's what we need at this point, right? Let's get as many people put, and that's the way, and understand something, that's the way big boy football is being played right now. You look at Clemson is not, well, it was at least with Jeff Scott and Elliott. Dabo. All putting themselves together to come up with the best game plan possible. Now you got that same system at Florida State, and even a step further, right, where you have that same system. Now we don't have one guy making these decisions. No, we got a whole bunch of guys who can address it, because here's the thing, you may miss something. But now this guy's saying, we ain't account for this. You're right. So now we got to account for that. You know what I mean? And so where I pick up where you lack, I also have certain areas of strength that you may be weak in. So it creates a complete unit. And I think that's very, very important. So when we talk about offense, I think Dillingham, Thompson, Atkins, Norvell, man, funny thing, I left out Dugans, right? But we know what Dugans brings to the table as well. Right. I think the wide receiver unit may argue that was probably the best unit on the team last year, right? So, and we know what Ron Dugans brings to the table. So when we put all these pieces together, man, we haven't even talked about the running backs coach yet. You know what I mean?
I expect for that to be David Johnson from Tennessee.
Yeah, I was gonna say the names we're hearing is David Johnson as well. So in the event, but I do think it's well, I guess it's possible Lockett can still get it in the event that
Yeah, Johnson turned it down.
yeah, Johnson turned it down, and you know that good, you know what I mean? Great. So now we can add one more guy with a big time school, you know, in his background. And then here's the other thing. I'm looking at the, you know, based on we've added another South recruiter. This is a guy who has ties to the Louisiana area, has ties to the South as well. So now you pair him with, you put him in the same car, you put him and Ron Dugas in the dunk, and we could take over. Like you said, the IT corridor are gonna be real nice. You know what I mean? So I think we're looking at a lot of good things. There's a lot of positives when we talk about this offensive staff. So let's just, you know, let's say we finalize it with David Johnson. Now we're talking about a offensive staff that's, you know, built to win. What do you think?
Oh, I love offensive staff, man. I love it. I love it. Let's turn the page to the defense. To the
Okay.
defense. Adam Fuller, the D coordinator, which is
Yep.
crazy because Memphis defense actually got better when he took over.
You know, it's funny.
So,
I've heard. Yep, go ahead.
yeah. So, yeah, the defense got better when he took over. He coaches mainly linebackers and safeties. I think in this defense, he's going to be the safeties coach. Okay, so I like that move. And I think Adam Fuller, in my opinion, just by just gauging some of the things I've read and stuff, I think he's going to be here for a while. Like, I think he's going to be the head coach of Florida State defense for a while. I think at least 4 years, maybe five at least.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. He
Yeah,
doesn't seem like a guy who's looking for the next move, you know what I mean? Based
right.
on if you look at it, yeah, right, I agree with what you're saying. Like if you look at his history and his track record, he's kind of been a guy who's been like, "All right, I'm cool here." You know what I mean? Oh, the next opportunity came along, I might take it, I might not. Like I think he seems like a person who's more happy with continuity than he is necessarily the fast rise. I don't think he's, you know, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I don't think he's a guy who's looking for that immediate opportunity to take over the head coaching job at Kentucky or at you know, at Mississippi State if that comes open. I think he's, you know, he'll be happy coordinating FSU's defense, which is kind of what I think Florida fans have gotten a bit accustomed to and a bit used to, in
Right.
my opinion.
But what's awesome about him is, and what's awesome about the defensive staff is, they bring in a guy, John. I cannot say that dude. Let's call him Papa John's.
No,
Let's
we can't
go with
call him
Papa.
Papa John.
We're
We
going to
can't
go
call
with
him Papa John.
Bro, we. Okay. All right. Okay,
Papa got some issues in his
I
closet. We
got.
can't call him Papa John.
I ate 40 pieces in 5 days. No, but. They got that guy who was at LSU under Nick Saban, under Bo Pelini, at Nebraska and LSU. So he knows how to do what you need to do to secure the guys you need to secure. That's what I like about that guy. And he was at North Carolina. And if you know anything about North Carolina in the past 20 years, they know how to get things done. That's all I'm going to say about that. They know how the game is played. So.
Listen, when we talk in code, we listen, man. Y'all,
They should know by now.
I was gonna say, y'all should understand exactly what we're talking about. I'm not gonna say it. We're not gonna put it on wax because we don't know if the NCAA listening. They kind of like the Fed. Kind of like the Feds. They always seem to be listening. So we ain't gonna, you know. But y'all understand what we're talking about. You know,
Yeah, he
y'all
knows how
understand
to.
exactly.
Yeah. So I like the fact that guys don't came from places like Auburn, LSU, you know what I'm saying, Tennessee.
Right.
That they know how to get down in the muck and kind of do the thing that need to be done. So I look at those like Dillingham, Papa John's, and yeah,
How many calls, man? Papa John's.
those two guys right there know how to get I think they know how to get the job done. I think that's your two guys. That's your Brewster and that's your Damian Craig. But
Hold
I
on,
like.
that's a really good point, though. That's a really good point. And so when no, I don't, you can't skip over that. When we talk about Bruce and Damian Craig, understand what there's two guys that went with Jimbo. They went with him for a reason. Because you need those guys to do the things that you can't necessarily do. Again, read between the lines. So when you say those two guys, the Damon Craig, one of those guys got Jameis Winston out of Alabama backyard. You understand? Alabama don't lose players out of their own backyard who win Heisman trophies.
Right.
You know what I mean? So understand it, you know, it takes certain things. You need certain guys to be able to do it. Tim Brewster is one of those guys who can get it done. And so now, like Sandra said, we have two of those guys. And that's one thing that I think this last staff was just missing. You know what I mean?
Well, we're gonna get on to the last staff a little bit and what it was missing compared to this staff. But let's finish out
the staff. Go ahead.
So then I look at Chris Marv, who, if we being honest, is probably my favorite addition to the staff.
I'm not taking my favorite.
I'm sorry. I guess that is your favorite. But anyway, I like Chris Marv. He's like around 35 years old. He's gonna probably be the inside linebackers coach. Cause I'm thinking the guy John Papa Johns is gonna probably be the outside linebacker / DN coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Marv would be the inside linebackers coach mainly. Because the defense is a 4-3.
Right.
So I'm mad, but I think it's somewhat multiple also.
It is. Based on what I've listened to with Chris Marv, it's definitely going to be multiple. He's talked about 3-4s. He's talked about 4-3s. He's coached them both. And again, we both said this was our favorite coach for a couple of reasons. Mine is, you know, as a coach, I like coaches who I learn something from immediately. Like the moment I hear you talk about football, I immediately be like, oh, that's different. I'm not teaching it that way. I'm not coaching it that way. That's something big. And then when I see the first video I saw was him in a room coaching other coaches. I like the coach who other coaches want to get information from. You know what I mean? Because that says to me, oh no, this is a guy who people want to hear from. That says to me a guy who's organized. That also says to me a guy who is a master of his craft. You know what I mean? The masters are the ones who teach it. You know what I mean? So when I saw him teaching the class of other coaches and they in there with their pens and paper and notebooks, and then he gets on the board and he starts writing, and I'm sitting here with my notepad like, oh, that's real good. I got to write that down. You know what I mean? Like that gets me really, really excited about the future of Florida State. And that gets me really excited about a really hungry and young linebacker group. Right. See, when you look at Lawrence Woodby, who is also like I think he put the eyes emoji when Chris Marv was hired. Man, you will see the best Woodby you've ever seen over these next 2 years. You go like he will probably get he will grow to a NFL football player over these next 2 years because Woodby's already a smart kid to begin with. So now you pair his intellect with another intellectual and a guy who teaches it as well as he does. I think what was at one point in time a weakness on this team, I think immediately becomes a strength. I think you can see dividends in the linebacker group immediately next year.
Well, because the group has talent now. That's not correct. Devoid of talent. So the linebacker position is one of the one positions and the defensive back position are the two positions on this team that was so god-awful last year because of two reasons. One, it didn't have enough talent. Two, it didn't have good coaching. This year, I expect for it to take like a huge step.
Yep.
I really do. Because with this guy, Chris Marv, you know, just looking at all his stuff, first of all, he came from Derrick Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people don't know, probably know who Derrick Mason is, but Derrick Mason is one of those defensive coaches he's at Vanderbilt
mm-hmm.
as a head coach. But when the NFL was having problems when RG3 and Colin Kaepernick first got in the league and was running like crazy with that spread stuff, Derrick Mason is the guy that they called up. Like, how was you shutting those Oregon offenses down when you was at Stanford? Mm-hmm. Like, they all went to Derrick Mason to learn. And that's who basically Chris Marv was coaching up under for 10 years, was Derrick Mason. And then he go from Derrick Mason to Bob Shoot, who's another great defensive mind. He was at Tennessee. Yep. Now he's at Mississippi State. To me, those guys' defenses are always good.
Yep.
I can't even say that about Alabama defenses lately.
Right. But
Vanderbilt don't get a whole lot of points just dropped on them every game. That just does not happen. And Mississippi State don't have that happen either. You will find cases where it's happened, but it's not a weekly thing with those defenses. So, and he's a guy based off of, he's a principal guy. He's a very much principal based. He is high energy, high effort, but he's just a sound, to me, he's just a sound coach.
Here's how I'm gonna get, and this gonna almost sound hyperbolic, right? But let me say this: I believe in this coach so much. I believe that DeKalen Brooks will be a better linebacker.
You know he transferred, right?
DeKalen Brooks didn't transfer.
Yeah, man, he's gone.
He ain't gone nowhere.
He's in a transfer portal. I promise.
All right.
Okay.
Wait. All right. Well, I ain't listen.
Go look that up.
I'm dead serious for the look it up.
Yeah, go look that up.
The point remains. I'm looking it up, but the point remains. I believe he would have been a better linebacker because I believe he would have had him. I believe he would have had him in the right position.
A quality linebacker coach.
Yeah, I think he would have had. See, here's the thing, right? Guys, who Paul Posluszny was a slow footed linebacker, but you know what Paul Posluszny always was in the right position.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so that's what I mean, right? So when you got a good linebacker coach puts you in the right position because he understands, okay, dude, you ain't going to never – if you wait that half a second to see that play, that guy's running by you every single time. So you got to be smarter in understanding what's happening pre-snap so that you can get there. And so I think when I talk about him as a coach, I'm talking about him as in the ability of putting a guy who is that same caliber of DeKalen Brooks, who we all know is slow-footed and can't necessarily get to the plays and always seems like a guy is running by him. I think he gives him a step advantage. He gives him an advantage because now he's put him in the right position. Now you're not chasing plays, which you ain't going to never make. You know what I mean? And that's what I mean. So I ain't seeing the way he's transferring either. But okay. If he is transferred, but regardless of the fact, the point remains that he makes guys better, and that's the overall point. DB coach, we've heard two names.
I think it'd be either T Buck or Rushing, right?
Woodson.
Yes, Woodson. But I got the guy Rushing as the cornerbacks coach. I think the guy from Memphis is going to be.
I think you got to get. Here's the problem, right? And this is where I talk about, like, he still has some sort of fan reality that he got to deal with.
Who?
Norvell. Like, I know he's got, man, every move he makes seems to build him a little bit more points and continues to add on to another piece of what we already believe is a growing, you know, sentiment of, you know what, I might be buying in. I might be willing to tell some lies about this team. You know what I mean? Like, every time he make a move, we seem to get there. But I think you kind of continue to build on that. I believe you bring in Rushing. Because he's coming from Memphis, it's one of those things where it's like, man, all right, we Florida State, man. We had an opportunity to get T-Buck and you bring in a dude who was down the hall from you. Stop doing that. We was cool with Fuller because, you know, we can kind of see the improvement and what he did. And he took over from a D coordinator who was dope and actually made that defense even better. So, you know what? We cool with that. But I think if you then look in, you say we're not going to get Marcus Woodson out of Auburn and we're not getting T-Buck, who is the Seminole, who the fan favorite. I think it's going to be difficult for you to sell Rushing. You know what I mean?
Man, I'm going to tell you something, man. We got to stop trying to hire all the former players, man. And it's not a T-Buck. I don't have a problem with T-Buck. If he hired T-Buck, I would be like, okay, great. Let's hire T-Buck. My thing is, though, I don't like having a lot of former players on the staff because I want guys that's hungry. I want guys that want to eat, that want to get the damn job done and get to the next job. You know, I want a guy that wanna go from DB coach to D coordinator to head coach. Like I want guys that burn bright and burn out. You know what I'm saying?
But man, you just mad at Odell, man.
No, they say an Odell thing. I'm not gonna do the Odell thing. I'm not doing that today, man. People on the timeline about to cancel me about this Odell stuff, man.
You just mad at Odell. Man,
they love the furniture, bro. They love the furniture. I mean, I like new furniture. You know what I'm saying? But hey, that's me though.
I'm always upgrading my furniture.
I like to upgrade furniture. You know, some people just want the furniture to come with the building. I want nice leather recliners updated with a cup holder now, maybe some heated seats. But You know, it is what it is. We can sit on this linen couch. You know what I'm saying? I was
going to say, that love seat with the plastic on it hits hard, though, sometimes. You know what I mean? That love seat with the plastic, it worked. You know what I mean? You go to your granny's house, you know what I mean? You the love seat with the plastic, it works.
Yeah, it's functional. But anyway, though, I don't want to have so many foreign players on the staff because I want guys like Lawrence Dawson at the end. It was really hard to get rid of Lawrence Dawson because it was just like every time Jimbo Cattle wanted to get rid of Lawrence Dawson, somebody be like, but Lawrence was a great wide receiver. It's got to be the players. It's got to be the players. It's like, yeah, man, but you've been coaching the players and only two of them been drafted. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm with you. You see, yeah, but I mean, so I'm with you. You know me. Me and you have had this conversation all night, so I'm absolutely with you on it. We kind of got to get away from the names. But I think if you look at, I mean, Ron has done it. Ron has held his own, right?
No, Ron is a great coach, though. Ron is a great.
But that's what I mean.
Let's say this, though. Odell was a great coach and a great recruiter and all around great.
Your old ledge on that one.
I'm just saying he won, but it is possible. It is possible that he's a little, you know, might be a little over the barrel right now. You know what I'm saying? But with the staff they bragging, putting together right now, you know, maybe Odell can find the magic again. You know what I'm saying?
Because that's at More Life One for those. For those of y'all wondering whose take is that? I'm moving past it. I can't even start laughing.
I'm just saying, we had one guy in Polk County we had to get from defensive end. One guy. You've been a head coach for 1 month. I'm just saying, bro. That's weird. He didn't decommit until you know what? Never mind. Let me get off of that, man. I'm going to get mad all over again. Talk about that.
Again,
Polk County can't close down on the one Polk County kid that we needed, that we had to have.
When y'all fire off them tweets, I'm just saying, don't add the Listen Up podcast at More Life.
I'm going down that hill, bro.
Nah, man. So Terrell Buckley. I'm cool. I said that to say, Ron Dugas has shown he's a really good coach. Terrell Buckley closed on his guys.
Absolutely, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. And Terrell Buckley has shown that as well. He's not just he went to Florida State and he got a name, so therefore we're gonna give him a job. It's not like, you know what I mean. So it's not that. I think Terrell Buckley does have a name, and he has shown that he has the ability to kind of close deals, get the job done, and work at a good school. So in my opinion, I'm cool with T Buck as one of those. But I'm with you on the, you know, let's stop looking at just the player. Oh, he played at Florida State, so we're gonna bring him in, because you do end up in a situation where you do have guys who you can't necessarily get rid of because they're kind of figureheads. And I mean, Odell going down with the university, he gonna be here until he no longer.
Let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's hope it don't come to got to go down with Odell. Like
I just believe that's what it is. I mean, but so in my opinion, I think he needs to be choosing between Woodson and Buckley. If he's not choosing between T Buck and Woodson, then I think TJ Rushing is going to be pretty difficult to sell to this fan base when we talk about, you know, just your offense. I mean, your defensive coordinator already came from Memphis as well. I don't necessarily have a problem. Get the job done. I don't care who they bring in as long as they get the job done. But I'm just talking about as far as, you know, making his life a little easier and to continue to take steps in the right direction. I don't think rushing is going to be one of those steps that he gets any points for. And right now, I think he does need to be focused on points, on gaining some points and momentum with his fan base, because we want that spring game to be lit. We want that that first game in Atlanta should be 70% Florida State. 30%.
The games has to be played. And when the games get played.
Exactly right. And nice. I don't, and again, we'll do a podcast on what we feel like the schedule gonna be. We've disagreed on what we feel like it's gonna be, and that's gonna be an interesting podcast. So at this point, you're right. You better get all the momentum you can get right now, because I think this first season is gonna be a little rough for them. So, special teams. You want to talk about What's his name? Pete?
Well, I mean, basically, Norvell's going to be the special teams coach also. I mean, he's basically is the special teams guy. I mean, the guy, Papa John's going to organize it for him, but Norvell's going to be special teams coach, man.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I agree. I think that's kind of how they did it in Memphis, where Norvell kind of took it on as a quarterback's coach. In a way, a lot of way, you know, Urban Meyer does it, and some of the other bigger time coaches will do it as well, right? I think that was a staple. I don't know if Nick still does it or not, but I know at one point Nick, that was definitely one of Nick's babies. We know, we all knew about the Beamer ball, and that was, you know, one of Frank Beamer's staples as well, right? Where he coached special teams. So I'm with you. But I agree. I think that'll be Norvell's baby, and this guy will be kind of assisting the furniture in making his D-line a little better. So, okay. I mean, that's the stat. I mean, so we can pretty much look at it, right? If I'm looking at the offense,
he got to try to get the most out of True Thompson, huh? Papa Ooh. John's.
Hey man, y'all ain't finna have me out here slamming these players in person. I'm out. Listen. Listen, man.
This man brought in True Thompson last year, man. I am out of sorts, man.
But he was really close to getting Chance.
Really close.
All right, man. You don't make me join in on this. I ain't doing this. I'm not doing this with you.
Players was coming. All of them coming. But anyway, man. So let's do this right here. So what is the difference between this staff and the prior staffs? To me, it's that I thought Willie brought in a bunch of guys that was going to be long-term assistants that was never going to move up in the industry. You know what I'm saying? Like, Pimp, I don't think ever was going to be an offensive coordinator or anything like that. Woody was never going to be a D coordinator or a head coach. You know, they were just guys that Willie took everywhere with him. You know what I'm saying? And he didn't have a guy that he groomed to be an offensive coordinator, D coordinator, or be head coaches. And I think that's the difference with Norvell. I think these guys are being groomed to be more. Like, I think Chris Marv eventually is going to be a hot name that's going to be a D coordinator, like, sooner Absolutely. Than later. Yep. They got John, Papa John's. He's been a D coordinator.
Yep.
So I can see him being a D coordinator sooner than later. Dillingham, he'll be a head coach sooner than later. You know what I'm saying? Rushing, I think rushing's coming. I know you don't believe that, but, you know. But, I think a lot of guys are groomed to do more. I don't think that was the case with the last staff that Willie and not just Willie, even the staff Jimbo had that last run. Like, I mean, Charles Kelly was never going to be a head coach. Bill Miller, no. Lawrence Dawson, no. You know what I'm saying? Rick Trickett, no. I mean, go down and down and down the line. I mean, them guys was career assistants. And when you become a career assistant, you become, content.
Yeah. I don't want to say those guys on Willie's staff were content, but what I do believe they were happy to have an opportunity. You know what I mean?
But do you think they was working to do the extra stuff to better themselves as coaches?
No, that's what I'm saying. I believe they knew they had lifetime deals. Willie has given us an opportunity that we wouldn't have had, so we got a loyalty to Willie. So we ain't going nowhere. We're gonna stick with Willie, and we're gonna ride with Willie no matter what. And that was kind of that was their style, right? So I believe you knew that Willie was gonna keep me whenever, you know, Willie had my back. So we were sitting in a meeting, and they had that, it was, what was it, Mark Rick, you got to fire him, me or my brother? Hey, man, we're going to have let's find another alternative, right? And so I think you had a staff full of guys who owed Willie a sense of, hey, man, you brought us to this place that we never thought we'd get to. And it's something to that, right? It's something to that, but it also doesn't breed a sense of I got to keep getting better. You know what I mean? Because they all, and Willie included, all saw this as the mountaintop. You know what I mean? And so when you see a certain role and when you see things as the mountaintop, you don't work as hard. It's just, I mean, it's just what, if you feel like you've reached the peak, certain people continue to try to find a new height, find a new challenge, find something different. It looked like that last staff, based on everything that we've heard and everything we've seen, didn't really have that same. You know what I mean? They, hey man, we've arrived. Florida State, whew, we've done it. Name brand sells itself. All we gotta do is go out here and bring in some athletes, and they're gonna make us all look good. Takes a little bit more than that, right? And I think they kind of learned that the hard way, in my opinion. And it's tough to it's a tough conversation to have, but if you look at this staff, like you just named them, all of these guys outside of our Fuller, all are growing. They've all you look at their progression, look at them. Put like we gave you all the names. Look at their track records and how they were at this level, then they went to this level. Then they went to this level, then they say, you know what, I kind of want to try something different. Let me do this. Now I want to take it and do this. And then we look at our head coach and all the guys that he's put in. What is it? 26 guys, I think it was, 23 guys have been poached from his staff. That says there's certain managers, and we've all worked in offices, right? Most of our listeners, I'm assuming, may have worked in offices, whether you have certain managers who they take a good employee and they ain't gonna tell they ain't gonna tell share them with nobody. They ain't gonna tell nobody about them. They're gonna just keep them so they makes them look good all the time. And then you have other managers who takes that good employee and immediately takes you under your wing under their wing and tries to get you off to your next level because they see that you got management potential as well. And so why would I know you're dope in this role and you're gonna make me look good, but I'd much rather have you go off and fulfill your full potential. I've had both managers in my career. And so I've seen the ones who've decided they're gonna stifle me because, hey, I can't afford to lose you. And I've also had the ones who said, I gotta let you go. You bigger than this. You know what I mean? So tell me what I need to do to get you out of my off of my team, and let's work on how we can make that happen. And very shortly after I started with them, I was gone. I think Willie has. I'm Willie. I think Norvell has that type of staff. And I think he has that type of management style to where he's doing whatever. Hey man, no. I'm giving you the credit. When they ask me about it, who did it? No, you did that. And so when they ask me who's the coach I think I should grab, you. They should get you. You should be that one who's in line for that head coaching job. You should be who's in line for that offensive coordinator job. You should be the one who's in line for this, you know, D coordinator job or whatever. You my special teams coordinator, but now you may, you know, but we know you got defense coordinator in your background. I'm gonna tell them that you did this, this, and this, this, and that, so that way we can showcase your best skills. And I want hungry guys. I want hungry people around me who this ain't their stopping point. This ain't their last point. So I know at some point in time I'm gonna lose you, but I much rather have that hungry person who's working to get to the next level than a whole bunch of people who are happy to be here. And that's, in my opinion, that's the biggest difference. One is the management styles and how these two people operate, and the other is the type of people they got around them. I think he got a bunch of dogs with him who are all hungry and all growing for an opportunity. And those people need to succeed, right? It's one thing when you want to succeed. It's another thing when you need to succeed. Because that, in other words, I gotta have my linebacker group looking sharp if I want to take over. Because if Fuller had his defensive group looking good, Norvell is the type to push him out. Man, I know you want to be here, whatever, but no, go. So now Marv takes over as a defense coordinator. Now Marv's gone, and now whoever you brought in as your old linebackers coach, a D line coach, or whatever, now you can take over from this. You know what I mean? Like you are constantly building, and you're constantly have coaches taking it to the next level and constantly growing. And in my opinion, I cannot be happy. If I'm looking at this staff, man, and what he's put together between the diversity, the hunger, it's hard for me to see them failing. I'm gonna be honest with you. And so that I keep saying he keeps taking steps to pull people closer and closer in to almost buying in. Every time he makes a hire and I look at the coach and the track record and what that coach has done and his and where his ties are and what he's been done and what and I look at his history, it's like, whew, okay. I'm starting to believe, you know what I mean? And that's really where I'm at right now with it.
Yeah, I think it's a great staff. I think it's a good staff, man. I don't know my I what I do think about this staff is I think what they're gonna be on the trail is gonna be is gonna be really different, man. I this is gonna have a feel like Jimbo 2011, 2012 on the trail. I really do believe that. And I don't really think the performance on the field is going to really matter. I think that's the type of dogs you have on the staff. You know what I'm saying?
I always think performance matter.
It matters, but I think certain coaching styles, they can just go on the trail and sail, man. Like,
yep.
Like even what Pruitt did after his first year at Tennessee. I mean, that was a good recruiting class he brought in,
mm-hmm.
even after a bad year.
Yep.
Some guys can get on the trail and they just can eat, man. I mean, I think this staff has that potential to me because you got some young guys and you got some evaluators and some guys that got a lot of recruiting coordinator experience, man. I'm excited about the staff. I mean, we may not see the fruits of it the first year. I think they're going to get better as the year go on, but I really think by year two, I do think you got to make it a something special.
Yeah, and that's all I was going to say. I think immediately, and we'll talk about this in more detail, and we'll go through each game, but I think next year is going to be tough just because it's another transition year, right? We're transitioning from, you know, this 3-4 that they worked all offseason for to kind of a 4-3. You got linebackers learning the, you know, new techniques. You're going to have DBs for the first time taught to look back for a football because I can only believe that nobody's taught them that before. You're going to have D-line getting something more than we got as a coaching strategy. I think you're going to have the offense learning a completely new system, right?
Right.
Going from a spread offense to a pro style offense is a tough transition. Some guys are better suited for it, some guys aren't. Blackman, you know what I mean? Blackman hasn't hit the transfer portal yet, and honestly, you know, he was recruited in a pro style system under Jimbo. It's not unreasonable to think that he wins that job over the two freshman guys in a pro style system. He ain't got to run the ball. He ain't got to read every time. He's kind of was recruited to play that offense. So, in my opinion, don't be surprised if Blackman ends up winning that job over the two freshmen because the Norvell has already said he's not bringing in a transfer. So, again, that means Blackman is still here. Jordan Travis is still here. Now, I don't think Jordan Travis has an opportunity to win it because he's – a mobile quarterback, and they don't necessarily need a mobile quarterback to run this offense. So, in my opinion, I just think it's a lot. It's gonna be a tough transit, and we already know what James Blackman is as a quarterback. So, I do think right now it's gonna be a tough year, and they got a tough schedule. So, they're gonna be struggling, but I don't think that's an indictment on this staff.
But the team would get better. So
we'll talk about it. But yeah, I think we'll see that I think we'll see competent play even in losses. You can see competency in losses. And I think that was the problem with Willie his last season, where like they said that Miami game looked just like that Virginia Tech game, that first game. And I don't think you're gonna see that. But what else you got, man?
Oh, that's it, man. That's it, man. Great show.
Okay. Well, listen, man. That's it. We got a tweet of the day, anything like that?
Nah. No tweet today. These people not being funny right now. All they doing is posting GIFs. It's like GIF season.
Hey, man. Get it together.
Is it GIF? Is it GIF or is it GIF? I think it's GIF.
I forgot. I thought it's GIF because, I mean, you know, add the T and it's GIFs. We give GIFs. So, you know,
you got a point. It might be GIF.
I think it's GIF. Yeah, but I could be wrong. I have no idea. That's just me, you know, remove the T.
That's a good point. I think it's a GIF.
All right. So, it's GIF season, no T. If we're wrong, y'all let us know. I'm sure of that. But as always, man, we appreciate you guys for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. The Listen Up Facebook page, I know a lot of people ain't on it, but find the Listen Up Facebook page and just add it. We don't tweet it out nearly as often, but every now and then we'll throw out some nuggets that we find onto the Listen Up Facebook page. So make sure you guys are subscribing. Again, we appreciate all the support, man. We keep looking at these numbers, and every episode seems to grow, man, by follower counts and everything. Continue that. Tell your friends about it, man. And as always, we appreciate you guys, man. We out.
You.
Thank you, far too kind. Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook here with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, make some noise. Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap's Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jets, Global Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the respect? Yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Damn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open ahead with no pen? Just draw inspiration. Shun, shun, shun.